Hello, welcome to NCETM's podcast. I'm Gwen Trezider from the NCETM communications team, and today I have the pleasure of talking to Jenny Lurie, deputy head from the St Marylebone C of E School in Northwest London. The St Marylebone CE School was one of the very early adopters of an approach to maths teaching that has become known as Teaching for Mastery. As such, they now have a cohort of Year 11 students that have been taught using a mastery approach since Year 7, and these students are, of course, about to take their GCSEs. For schools that are newer to Teaching for Mastery, or for those just dipping their toes in the water, what can we learn from early adopter schools like St Marylebone? For any heads of maths, senior leaders and classroom teachers out there who are wondering what Teaching for Mastery might be able to offer their students, we hope this podcast might answer some of your questions. So hello, Jenny.
Hi.
Can you start by just telling us about your role at St Marylebone and where that's come from?
So I'm currently the deputy head curriculum of the school. I've been at the school for 10 years. I started the school as head of maths 10 years ago, then became assistant head of data and progress, and then became deputy head. When I became deputy head, I also became the line manager of the mathematics department.
Okay, so you're a maths teacher as well, and do you still teach maths?
I do still teach maths. I still teach 10 hours a week. I teach year 9 and year 10 this year.
Okay, and can you tell me a bit about the school?
The school is a high-performing school. We have been a high-performing school at least for the last 10 years that I've been there, with regards to both attainment and progress. We have a very mixed inner-city cohort. We have 33% who are pupil premium students. We have 45% who are EAL, and we are consistently in the top 8% of schools nationally in terms of our progress. This year we're in the top 3%.
Right, and what sort of size school is it?
It's a medium-sized school for a central London school. We're based on a very tiny site. We teach from 11 to 18. We're a school which is a sixth form entry at 11 to 16, and then we have a more than average size sixth form of about 370 students, who of which about 40% of them are maths A-level students.
And we should also say at this point that the St Marylebone School is also the Maths Hub lead school for that area, which gives it an extra interest in maths perhaps. Mm-hmm. So do you want to talk about how you came to changing the way that mm-hmm. maths is taught at the school?
So when I took over as the line manager of the department, this was in 2014, we had the opportunity to send a couple of our teachers to Shanghai, where those teachers, it was the head of department and his deputy that went to Shanghai and visited the schools. They came back. We then had Shanghai teachers that came to visit for 2 weeks, and the department got to see what a different style of pedagogy and different style of teaching might look like in the department. One which was much more planned collaboratively in terms of really talking about the pedagogy behind it, and that was developed over a long period of time. And they got really excited by that. They got really excited by how the students interacted with the materials that the Shanghai teachers were using with them.
You're talking about your London students now.
Yeah, how the London students reacted to that. And as a department, they felt it was really important that they carried on in that style of teaching, because of the impact that it had had over the 2 weeks that the Shanghai teachers had been there. It sparked an interest in them in that there was a different way of working within a maths department to what we had previously been doing. If we go back, what we had previously been doing, we had a cohort of staff, which there was a high turnover. We're a central London school, so losing maybe 20 to 25% of teachers every year, which was normal in a central London school. It's a good school, but it's still central London, and that turnover of staff meant that people carried their own resources, went into the department, went into their lessons, closed their doors, and taught their lessons in the way that they felt was the best way that they could teach it. And what we recognised when we saw the Shanghai teachers planning together and working together was that there was a much more collegiate way that we could be doing it, where we could be planning and working together. If we think about how I reacted to that, whenever they all decided that they were going to plan together to teach these lessons, I personally, as a senior leader, both in the department and as the line manager, couldn't see A, how the head of department was going to convince everyone to sit down and work together, how it would last for any length of time, asking people to give up their time to plan together, and or how it might become more efficient. I was convinced by the head of department. He said, I'm going to ask everyone to do it for 6 weeks. And then after 6 weeks, we're going to ask everyone again how they feel it's going. And then we're going to just take it from there. So what happened was that they started out teaching. And what they were able to pin their planning around were the five big ideas that people may have heard about through the Teaching for Mastery and through the NCETM website.
Hold on, let's just talk about what the five big ideas are. These are, they're the kind of ideas of mastery put in a nutshell so that people have got something to hang their planning on. And if you want to know more about them, there is more about them on the website, and we can link that from this podcast page so that people can follow that up. But carry on talking about what it meant in your school.
So what it meant in the school was, when I was head of department, the one thing that people in their leaving interviews and when they were going said, it's a great department, but it would be great if everyone worked together more, that we would be able to develop resources together and lessons that everyone could use. So the way that I combated that was that I opened up a folder on the shared drive and everyone created these wonderful resources and then shoved them on the folder, but nobody knew how they worked in reality in the classroom. But also they were too hard to find. They didn't link together because no one was having discussion around it. We didn't have a shared language in order to plan those lessons. But what the five big ideas and the Teaching for Mastery ideas taught us was that there is a shared language, there is something that we could use. So the department sat down after Shanghai teachers left, they sat down and they started to plan for the series of lessons. So how we started is...
Was this in year seven?
Yes, so we only started with year seven.
Right.
Because we realised that if we try to do it for every single year group and teaching in a different way, I know that a lot of people will understand that Teaching for Mastery is about the narrowing and the deepening of a curriculum. So if we were going to narrow and deepen our year seven curriculum, well, we couldn't do that for every year group because they'd all learnt maths in a much more spiral fashion, where you come around, the scheme of work was developed so that you come to each topic each year for the same amount of time. Mm. Whereas we knew that if we started with year seven and we narrowed and deepened their curriculum in order that we would do a more linear approach to our scheme of work, we couldn't do that with every year group.
Right.
So we could only start with year seven and see how it went. So we sat down, and I can remember the day very vividly in my head. I didn't think it was going to work because we put aside, and they convinced me, and I convinced the head teacher that on our inset day, on October half term, after October half term, that the maths department would be allowed just to sit and plan together. We wouldn't get involved in the whole school inset, but we would just sit and plan together. So what we decided to do is we decided to look at what the next 6 weeks were going to be for our year sevens, and we decided to it was going to be fractions. And so we started out with the big questions. What is a fraction? And that was the question and the conversation that convinced me about Teaching for Mastery, because we put up the question, what is a fraction? And as experts, we had never... It sounds amazing at the time that we had never as a department sat down and talked about what is a fraction. We'd never actually shared that idea, what our ideas were. We'd all just walked into our classrooms and taught it.
I wonder how many departments have ever sat down and asked that question.
Exactly. So when we sat down and we asked that question, 2 hours later, we were still talking about it. And we realised there was so much that we didn't know. But actually, the shared hive mind of everyone in the room, we were able to eke out lots of ideas and thoughts about what a fraction was and what were the fundamentals of fractions that we needed. That first off, what did they know from primary? Because actually, we hadn't really thought about that massively.
Mm. And you must have a lot of primary schools.
We have 120 feeder schools.
Wow.
So we didn't quite know what they were coming with from primary, and we realised that we were just going gung-ho into, well, we're told that this was what they should know in year seven, so we'll just start here, but we hadn't checked that that is actually what they knew, and we hadn't then decided what the small steps would be for them to get to where we wanted them to get to, and all of the multiplicative reasoning questions that we knew were coming up at GCSE. We hadn't really looked at that five-year journey of fractions for students and how that connectedness throughout all of their curriculum for all the different ideas that they were going to meet on the way. So that was the conversation that convinced me that this was going to be something really important that we were going to do, sitting around the table, talking about maths, collaboratively planning, and sharing our ideas and hooking it onto the Teaching for Mastery five big ideas. So where we went is, from that, the whole department was quite convinced that they were going to take an hour a week out of their time as a year seven team, and this was not going to be given back to them in any way for in terms of their teaching load. They were doing this above and beyond. So they decided to sit down off their own bat to plan these lessons. And they made lots of mistakes. They were a year 17. They didn't quite know what they were doing. And in fact, now that we are 5 years on, we still have our year 17 sitting down planning on a weekly basis,
right,
collaboratively, even though they've done it for 5 years.
Mm.
They still sit down because we realised that the students we're getting from primary school are different every year, because we feel like the maths curriculum at primary has really upped its game. So we're having to change what we do in year seven. But also, the more you know, the more you realise you don't know.
Yeah.
And that there is further to go in the journey. And my maths team are fully engaged in that process of going along that journey.
And so now, are you able to give them time on the timetable for that? Or are they still giving up their own...
So I'm a senior leader. I had to make the very difficult decision last year for the whole school that we had to up contact time for every single teacher in the school. This is due to funding. It was due to not having to replace teachers if they left. And so we had to do that across the school. So we sat down as a maths department, and given now at this point, we now have a collaborative planning meeting for our year sevens, our year eights and our year nines during the week. And if you teach all 3 year groups, that means you have 3 hours on your timetable. And I sat down with the department as their line manager and I said, right, we need to think about workload. I need to think about your workload. I think what can go is the collaborative planning meetings. There was uproar. they went, but we can't. And I said, OK, it's the stronger members of the department talking over others. And it was a complete consensus that, well, we still need year seven, because year seven, we don't know what we're getting in from primary school. Year eight, well, we've only redesigned these two massive topics in year eight, and we don't know how they went last year. We haven't evaluated that, and we need to reevaluate that again. Year nine, well, we've only done that for the last 2 years. So we're still really eking out that we're really preparing them for GCSE with what we're doing and how we're planning. And they all, as a consensus, just went, well, we can't stop any of it. And I said, you understand what this means. It means that you're all going to up 1 hour on your timetable as well as doing these. And they went, yeah. I said, and this is your agreement. They said, absolutely. But I keep going back to them. I'll go back to them again in another 3 months and I'll say, how is it going? How do you feel about it? Because giving them that ownership and that feeling of opt out I feel supports them in having a voice if they do feel like it isn't something that is working for them. But I was very much pushed back on the collaborative planning, that was the most important element of what they did.
So when I came to see you when you were just doing it with Year 7,
yeah,
in 2016, I guess that was, the teachers were telling me then, this hour that we're giving up actually gives us loads of time back, because although we have to plan a lesson in much more detail, then we're getting loads of lessons from our colleagues. So it's interesting that now, 5 years on, 4 years on, that they're still saying the same thing and still seeing the benefits of it. And it's still their own time that they're giving up, is it?
It is still their own time that they're giving up. And absolutely, it does save you time. You know, I teach Year 9, but I only plan one out of every 6 to 7 lessons. And when I plan them, I plan them in depth. I use the 5 big ideas to ensure that I have really thought about the development and the questions that I'm asking the students. And what we do in our collaborative hour is that we call those teacher research groups, because it is research. We talk through the lessons that we have developed, and we talk through each of the individual questions. We don't get it right all the time, but you've got people sitting in the room. So we have PGCE students through to and non-specialists through to people who have maths degrees and been teaching 20 years. And we all learn from each other with regards to what we're seeing and how we're seeing it. And actually, our PGCE student sometimes has incredible things to say about the lessons and the questions, because they're spending a lot of time observing, teaching and learning. So they're able to say, well, when you asked that question on that previous lesson, when I was observing you, this is how the students reacted. Do you think you could phrase it in this way instead? And we all go, oh, I didn't think about it like that. And we learn so much from each other with regards to what we do, and what we've got, and the outcome we found that we have is, we had a retention of our staff turnover of 25%. I've lost one member of my department in the last 4 years we've been doing this.
Really?
So the people who are there and were there in 2014 are incredibly invested in looking at this 5-year plan, and incredibly invested in the department, which ensures that they've stayed. I have people who... We all know that maths teachers very quickly get progressed through the system up into leadership positions. I've got people who are happy to continue teaching in the classroom with a high teaching load because they really believe in what they're doing. And I personally, as a teacher, and I know this is said across my department, because we do the collaborative planning and we support each other in that way around the Teaching for Mastery 5 principles, we feel like we are bringing the best of ourselves into the classroom. I've been teaching almost 20 years, 19 years I've been teaching. And it's only since I started teaching in a Teaching for Mastery style that I feel when I walk into the classroom that I am giving the best to my students.
Right.
I was an advanced skills teacher. I'm an SLE. I go into other schools and I observe their learning. But I'm also senior leader of a school.
Mm.
So a lot of the time my teaching is about third or fourth down in my to-do list of what I need to do. But I set aside the hour a week to sit in the collaborative planning and to go through the lessons, which means that when I walk into the lesson, I know exactly the questions I'm going to be asking the students, the misconceptions that I'm going to meet from the students, that I'm going to be able to combat with the thought process that I've already had. And it makes me love my job more. I love going into my lessons to see what's going to happen when I ask students this particular question. Is the feedback going to be what I thought it would be in the collaborative planning, or is it going to be completely different? Something I'll be able to go back to my colleagues with and go, when we asked that question, what happened there? And what we do as a maths department now is we talk about maths all the time. We don't talk about logistics, we don't talk about timetable change, we don't talk about the admin. We talk about maths all the time, right from all the different types of subtraction through to, you know, it even spreads up into our post-16, where we don't have officially meeting together as collaborative planning meetings. But those post-16 teachers all eke out time from their after-school timetable in order to sit down and collaboratively plan those lessons as well. So it happens all the way up. We have three periods on timetable, but others we don't. They do that before school, after school. They will eke out time in order to sit down and talk it through.
Yeah.
There is a lot of the Teaching for Mastery training that goes on, but actually I can't send my whole department on that. I can't send them all out, but I can send one individual who goes out and does the training and comes back and supports the conversations. And I think one of the things for my department is they can sometimes feel, well, that's what Megan does. Megan goes out and she does Teaching for Mastery training, and then she has all the knowledge, and we come back and we have conversation, and it's showing them that actually the conversation that they're having, being sometimes led by Megan, sometimes not, with the training that she's doing for other members of the department, is they're as knowledgeable about Teaching for Mastery as anyone else, because they're using it and talking about it on a daily basis and using it in their classrooms. And it's not that the collaborative planning, all the lessons are exactly the same and you have to ask and it's scripted. There's a lot out there at the minute about scripted lessons, but they're not scripted. It's about using the teacher as a professional, because that's what teachers are. They are professionals, no matter whether they are specialists in that subject or not. They are still professionals, and it's using their professionalism and knowledge in order to adapt the lessons for the learners that they have in front of them, and for them to feel comfortable doing that and knowing that they can be flexible in that. So one of the five big ideas is variation. For example, I taught a lesson to my year nines, and we thought in the collaborative planning lesson it was brilliant, spot on. It was like the best lesson ever. We talked about it in the collaborative planning. It was going to be brilliant. We all went into our lessons and we taught it. And it didn't quite go as planned, but we all adapted it using... So I threw in a set of questions, and I quickly thought about the variation between the questions in order to slightly change them, in order to really get the kids thinking deeply about what the key concept was in the lesson. So I was able to adapt it, knowing the knowledge, and walked out of the lesson, walked into the maths department, and we all went, that lesson was rubbish. How did we all think that that lesson was going to be brilliant? But each teacher came out and said, well, I came up with a quick set of questions to be able to fill in the gap here. Oh, well, I thought of a true and false set of questions that really helped the students understand. So we'd all individually had to adapt it on the fly, being professionals. But because we'd had the conversation, because we all have the skills in order to be flexible, that really helped as well, because we work together so closely. And we're all willing to admit our mistakes as well. We're all willing, and we have a massive open door policy, and we all observe each other's lessons really regularly. But because we've planned them all together, it takes away all of the onus on you as a teacher.
So tell me about the effects in your school. What would you say the effect on students has been?
The effect on students has been that we have a highly engaged set of students in mathematics. Something I didn't mention right at the beginning is that we're an all-girls performing arts school. So for a lot of these students, mathematics may not be high up on their agenda of life skills that they think they require. And maths hasn't traditionally been the subject that has come easiest to those students. However, we have other departments in the school coming to see maths lessons because of the level of engagement that we have from classes of 30, 32 students sitting in front of us from beginning to end that they don't get in their subjects. So they're coming and they're asking why. We think it's because students have a higher level of understanding of what's going on, what's expected of them, that the small steps that we take mean that they've got to clue into it. So we've got that high level of engagement. We also have students who, when students get to year 9, year 10, we start to get students who are school refusers. Students who have, you know, hard things going on at home, things going on outside of central London. They have a lot of things going on outside of the classroom. And it's girls, and we know that girls suffer with mental health issues much more than boys do. So we do have that. We have the pastoral care to support that. But when the students come back in, they may have spent a little bit of time out of classroom. When they come back into school on reduced timetable, maths is now the one thing they want to go back into. So they want to be in maths lessons. Whereas before, maths was the thing that really, they really struggled with being in there because of the, they said it was the right and the wrong answers, and if we're in the wrong, we don't know how to get into the right. But since we've been doing this, we have seen, and the pastoral team have mentioned that students coming back in on reduced timetables always want maths on their timetable. So for us, that's a big indicator for the students. We have students who are way more articulate about mathematics. They're able to speak with a fluency that they weren't able to before, because we really insist on that mathematical language being used and being used consistently across their lessons. What we also have, we have our internal data. So we have what we do as a maths department. And in the same way as all maths departments do, we love data and we love collecting data and looking year on year. We have been able to look year on year and compare our mastery to our non-mastery cohorts, doing the similar tests in year nine, because by the time they reach year nine, they've covered the same content as they had in our old schemes of work. And we now see that our high attainers are still high attainers, because that year nine cohort, that year nine non-mastery cohort, have just done their GCSEs. So we can see that what our mastery cohort has done in year nine, who are now in year 11, and we can see that non-mastery to mastery, our high attainers are still high attainers. We have closed the gap between our middle and low attainers. We have less stragglers at the end. There's a much tighter range in terms of the results that those students are getting. Our predictions for our current year 11s, and this is being cautiously optimistic, very much so, is that they're the best results the school has ever seen.
Right.
If they get what we are predicting, they will be the best results. We're cautiously optimistic about it, but we're not just doing it for the outcomes. What we've seen in our department with the teachers is they are excellent teachers, and we are enabling them to be excellent teachers in the classroom. We've retained staff, a consistency of staff for our students, because we know that that disruption for students is a big thing. They like the consistency of having the same teachers and the same teachers around. What we also can see is that when students get their timetable at the beginning of the year, they don't go, oh, I've got that maths teacher. They don't, because of the consistency and the quality of teaching that they get from any teacher in the department. They don't care who they have for the maths. And that's massive for our school. Mm. They don't care who they have. And also parents have talked to us about that they love the consistency, that they really appreciate the fact that they know that the consistent diet that their daughters are getting across any maths classroom that they go into, and they really like that as well. I mean, as a school as well, the effect that it's had, as I said, lots of departments coming to see the maths department to see what we're doing, but we have beacon, what you would call beacon departments in an all-girls school, the English department, who have now decided to start collaboratively planning to look at what teaching for mastery looks like for English, to look at what small steps means for the development of English and as language and literature. So they are meeting on a weekly basis as a year seven group of teachers, and they're a department that traditionally have all gone into their classrooms and they have taught whatever book or literature that they feel is going to work best with their classes. But now they're all coming together to really develop a cohesive collegiate idea of what English is for their key stage three. Mm. Our science department do the same. They train collaboratively for the year sevens and the year eights. And traditionally, the science department were a department that didn't even talk to each other. And now they choose to sit down twice a week together to talk about science and the big ideas around science. And what I have found through talking to other people in the NCTM Maths Hub network and the schools is that once the maths department have locked onto it, the science and English department see something in that. And so we have our science, heads of science, are meeting with other heads of science from other schools who have taken on teaching for mastery in their maths department, but now thinking about what it means for the science department. Mm. So actually they're forming their own networks and visiting each other's schools and seeing what happens collaboratively there. So there's something in it. Mm. There has to be something in it.
So what I'm going to ask you now is about other schools that aren't involved in teaching for mastery but mm-hmm. are thinking about it. First of all, why you think they... what you think the benefits for them might be, why they might be interested in getting involved, and then how to get involved as well.
So, they should definitely get involved. One way to get involved is to contact your local maths hub. Go on to the NCETM website, look at where your maths hub is, just find out where that is, email them, and they will happily get back in touch with you with regards to meeting you where you're at in your department. There are lots of things that people can get involved in the within the NCTM Maths Hub network. You can get involved in what you call an NCP, which is a work group, which would be meeting for a number of times during the year to really focus in on a particular issue in mathematics.
So that's quite a big commitment, isn't it? So in terms of schools that are just wanting to find out a little bit more, mm-hmm. most Maths Hubs are opening their doors to schools to do that as well, aren't
yes.
they?
Yes. There are more and more schools which are opening up their doors for you to see what teaching for mastery looks like in practice. What does it look like in the classroom? It's fine seeing reading research and reading case studies and ideas, but until you see it in practice, it doesn't give you a full understanding of its impact on a class. And more maths hubs at a secondary end are opening up their classrooms to be able to see it. So go and see it. Take the time out. If you're a head of maths, go as a head of maths, see what it looks like, but encourage a senior leader to come with you. If you can't go as a head of maths, send your senior leader to go. If you've got someone coming in your department who's found this day to go to, they've gone to it, they've got really excited, sit down and listen to them. Listen to what they've got to say, because actually what they're saying and how they are getting excited as a teacher is really important, because actually there's something behind that. And mm-hmm. there's lots of ideas and work that you as a maths department can get involved in order to develop your department. I remember as a head of maths, it's been my favourite job throughout my education pathway has been being head of department and having the opportunity to develop teachers to become the best that they can be. And the Teaching for Mastery programme and what the Maths Hubs have got to offer will help you do that.
Thank you, Jenny. That's been really, really helpful, and hopefully lots of teachers and senior leaders will have been listening and will now want to go and contact their local Maths Hubs. If you go onto the mathshubs.org.uk, you can find your local Maths Hub and get in touch with them, and they will be more than ready to give you an introduction to teaching for mastery if that's what you're interested in. Thank you for listening.